Baghdad is keen on enhancement of economic ties with Tehran. Iran gets second fuel shipment for Bushehr nuclear power plant. Disagreement runs high among Bahraini officials over violent suppression of demonstrations. And Spaniards spend night outdoors for fear of more deadly tremors. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, hello and a very warm welcome. Baghdad is voicing full preparedness to expand overall relations with Tehran, particularly on the economic front. That according to Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri Maliki, who added his country welcomes Iranian investment companies in different sectors. The Premier urged Iranian investors to visit Iraq as a means to get a clear picture of the country's potential for investment. Maliki also referred to ongoing reconstruction process of the war-shattered country and said Iranian companies can run development projects in Iraq individually or join Iraqi counterparts in that regard. The second fuel consignment for Bushehr nuclear power plant in southern Iran has arrived in the country. Spokesman for the Atomic Energy Organization of Iran, Khadem Qaimi, said Russia delivered a total of 30 tons of nuclear fuel by plane over the last week for Bushehr power plant. Qaimi added the shipment is meant for the plant's second year of operation. Qaimi also said the fuel has been transferred to the nuclear plant in strict keeping with safety standards, adding Iran's first nuclear power plant will join the national power grid in the near future. Iran and Tajikistan have taken a major step to broaden scientific and educational cooperation. That came as the Iranian and Tajik deputy science ministers signed a memorandum of understanding in the Tajik capital of Dushanbe. The MOU envisages, among other things, 250 top students of Tajik universities to be granted scholarship by Iranian universities, while 50 Iranian students will be admitted to Tajik universities in return. According to the Iranian side, Hossein Nadiri Manish, the agreement also provides for establishment of a joint evaluation committee and preparing the grounds for opening branches of Iranian universities in Tajikistan. The suppression of Bahraini protests and continuing presence of Saudi forces in the country has reportedly sparked serious disputes between Bahraini ruler and his prime minister. The row has even led to armed clashes between the supporters of the two sides. This comes as international human rights activists say a 201-page lawsuit filed at The Hague proves the Bahraini government, that is, Bahraini regime, has repeatedly committed crimes against humanity. Meanwhile, international bodies, including the Human Rights Watch, are calling on the regime to end the ruthless persecution, torture, and detention of protesters in the country. In the wake of popular uprisings in North Africa and the Middle East, experts believe that Saudi Arabia is adopting double standard policies when it comes to the pro-democracy movements of the regional nations. Ali Wasif, professor of international law and politics at the Trinity University, maintains that Saudi officials are lending support to terrorism in the region.
Saudi Arabia has officially been supporting the despotic regime of Bahrain and has been involved in crushing its own democratic movement, especially in the eastern province. And Saudi Arabia has been involved in fomenting sectarianism between the different factions of Muslims in the entire South Asian and Middle Eastern region. Saudi Arabia has been involved in spreading fundamentalism and terrorism.
The recent reconciliation agreement between the main Palestinian factions of Fatah and Hamas has added to the concerns of the Zionist regime of Israel. However, Palestinians are happy for the landmark agreement. In a show of hilarity, Palestinians staged a rally in Gaza urging Fatah and Hamas to take practical steps for implementation of the unity agreement clinched in Cairo. The ralliers believe that the persistent infightings in recent years have damaged the Palestinian interests. On the opposite side, however, the Zionist regime's legislature, Knesset, has held an emergency meeting over the issue. A number of Zionist MPs called for cutting power and water supply in Gaza to put more pressure on Palestinians. European Union Foreign Policy Chief Catherine Ashton has condemned ongoing violence and repression against protesters in Yemen. Ashton welcomed the statement by the Persian Gulf Cooperation Council urging Yemeni parties to sign the political transition agreement. Yemeni people, however, say the PGCC plan shows support for the crackdown on demonstrators in Yemen and offers Ali Abdullah Saleh an opportunity to kill more people. The EU statement has not made any reference to the massacre in Yemen. Attacks by the Yemeni regime forces on protesters left 19 killed and hundreds wounded in Sana'a, Taiz, Hodeida and Ibb only on Wednesday. In Libya, NATO-led airstrikes hit Muammar Gaddafi's compound, killing 6 people. The pre-dawn strikes in the capital Tripoli came just hours after Libyan state television showed what it said was footage of Gaddafi meeting tribal leaders to avoid rumours concerning Gaddafi's death during recent bombardments. Libyan officials said all the victims were civilians and that 10 others have been injured in the attack. The air raid took place after opposition fighters said they have driven Gaddafi's forces out of Misrata. The port city has been besieged by Gaddafi forces for close to 2 months. Thousands of Spaniards, stunned by the country's deadliest earthquake in 55 years, were afraid to go home following a pair of quakes that killed 9 people. Residents of Lorca spent the night outdoors, where the quake caused extensive damage to buildings.
Sunrise in the Spanish town of Lorca, where hundreds of scared residents spent the night in makeshift camps and shelters. When the 5.3 magnitude earthquake hit their town, residents were caught by surprise. Homes and historic churches were damaged, and at least 8 people have been killed. Many of the town's 90,000 residents say they are lucky to have escaped. Rescue services have started clearing away the rubble, and people are going back to their homes to search through the debris. Earthquakes with massive damage and fatalities are rare in Spain, although the south of the country has extensive fault lines.
In the world of sports, Barcelona drew 1-1 at Levante to win the 3rd consecutive La Liga title after a nervous display. Barca have 92 points with 2 matches left, 6 ahead of 2nd place Real Madrid, who beat Getafe 4-0 on Tuesday, and Pep Guardiola's side hold the advantage in games between the two sides. Fadu Keita headed the visitors in front after 28 minutes, but a terrible mix-up between defender Gerard Piquet and keeper Victor Valdes helped Levante equalise just before half-time. Barca can now focus on the Champions League final against Manchester United at Wembley on May 28th. The third consecutive league triumph is the ninth trophy lifted by Barcelona since manager Pep Guardiola took over three seasons ago. To tennis, where world number one Rafael Nadal came within two games of a shock defeat on his favourite clay surface before overcoming Italian qualifier Paolo Lorenzi 3-1 in the second round of the Rome Masters. Nadal's 37-match winning run on the red dirt was ended by Novak Djokovic last week in the final of the Madrid Open. In Rome, world number two Djokovic eliminated Poland's Lukasz Kubot with a 2-0 victory. World number three Roger Federer overpassed France's Jean-Wilfried Tsonga with an easy win in two straight sets, 6-4 and 6-2. Now a look at some other stories in brief. A U.S. drone attack on North Waziristan province in northwest of Pakistan has left 8 people killed. The casualties were sustained by drones that fired 2 missiles at a vehicle heading towards the Afghan border. Despite the U.S. claims of Osama bin Laden's death, U.S. unmanned aircraft continue their strikes on Pakistani territories, violating the country's sovereignty under the pretext of hitting al-Qaeda and Taliban targets. The Thursday drone strike was the third U.S. air attack on Pakistani soil over the past 10 days. Sandstorms swept across northeastern China, leaving skies hazy and cities blanketed under a film of ochre-coloured dust. Cars, buildings and even trees were covered with fine dust after the storm. In Harbin City, the visibility was reduced to 300 metres as the air filled with dust. Official reports said there will be rain falling in some parts of northeastern China later in the day, which will probably ease the sandstorms. Sandstorms are not unusual in China. Sicily's Mount Etna burst to life once again with a brief eruption that spewed lava and ash into the air and sent a long stream of lava down its slopes. Officials closed the airport in the nearby town of Catania as workers tried to clear the runways of ash, but winds continued to make the job difficult. No casualties have been reported so far. Etna is Europe's most active volcano. Its last major eruption was in 1992. Floodwaters sweep towards Louisiana as the rain-swollen Mississippi River shows no sign of letting up. The flooding along North America's largest river has forced thousands to evacuate and has submerged as many as 3 million acres of farmland in Mississippi, Tennessee and Arkansas alone. Residents say they have never seen anything like that. Further south in Louisiana, crews are rushing to construct a temporary levee as authorities brace for the possible opening of a spillway. Well, that's it for this edition of our Arab English News. Thanks for tuning in. Weather report is up. Bye-bye.